If it please the court, you're about to hear yet another school case. And let me start off by saying that I don't believe this case ought to be here. And I believe if our trial court had simply paid attention to the dictates of Section 162.841, that is the requirement that each school district keep its own correct plat and officially report that any changes to the county clerk, we would not be here. And that is because we are dealing with this non-contiguous island of property that is always and has always been in Farmington School District and has never been in Central R3.
Well, you say it's always been, but in the 60s, I thought you all agreed that in the 66 reorganization, this area was included in the Central School District. And then in 67, there was the boundary change and the dispute over whether it was included.
No, Judge, that's not quite correct. In 1966, both districts became districts. They reorganized.
Right.
Judge Thompson relied on not the assessor's records in making his decision, but a very limited part of the assessor's records, the tax records only.
But there was this boundary change in 67. Why was that necessary if it was already part of Farmington?
The boundary change had nothing to do with this parcel. This parcel was not affected whatsoever by that boundary change, except that the boundary change created the island or the non-contiguous, but again, only on the records, the tax records of the assessor.
And what are your records that show that it was always in Farmington?
The records that show it was always in Farmington is Superintendent Ray Henry testified that in 1966, at the time of the reorganization when Doe Run and Farmington became a district, the subject property was in Farmington.
Well, but is there a plat or something that shows? Neither side has any records prior to 66, is that right? So you're relying
they didn't
on
exist.
Opposing
That's
testimony
correct.
And so
then,
forth.
Then when 1967 comes along and the districts are petitioned for the change, Farmington hired a surveyor who created the plat of the district.
And isn't that an object of contest, whether or not that was a plat?
Plat or a map. It was surveyed. The surveyor took the district and put it in, and that plat, or map, if you want to call it that, shows that this property is in Farmington. Now,
Does the plat show it's part of the boundary change for that
no,
year?
No, it is not.
So
boundary
okay.
change has nothing to do with parcel 13.
Okay.
It just,
so
in the assessor's...
Because I was confused in the briefs on this, so if I could just clarify.
Yes.
Because it seems like everybody agrees the meets and bounds description did not include this area. It only included this other area. But you're saying the map included this area in Farmington. But you're not saying the map showed a broader reach of the boundary change than the leaps and bounds. You're saying it was always meets and bounds. You're saying it was always within Farmington.
Yes.
And the only basis for saying that, though, is that we don't have any official documents that show that.
We do. We have the documents kept by Farmington, which are in evidence.
Prior to 66.
The 66 and the 67 change. And then Farmington's year-end, 1969.
And do we know where those came from?
Yes, they came from,
how
Dr.
They were
Henry happened to have them.
Do we know how they were prepared, or were they official documents
according,
in some way?
Yes, and according to the testimony of Dr. Henry, the school district hired a surveyor to prepare the very plats or maps which the statute required that was in the paper, that was done in the arbitration, and this showed the entire district as well as the boundary change.
So are we analyzing this case under the reorganization laws under 162.171 that requires contiguous property? Or are we analyzing it under 162.431 boundary changes that does not require contiguous property?
To answer that question, I think we have spent far too much time talking about the statute dealing with boundary changes, for the reason that the boundary change, everybody agrees there was no dispute as to the boundary change, that it did not contain this property. So if we look at the statute that talks about reorganization, it says reorganized districts shall be composed of contiguous territory. And of course, then the question becomes, if it has to be contiguous when it's reorganized, can it later become non-contiguous? The statute, I think, prohibits that.
Well, the statute doesn't address what happens later. It talks about reorganize in a contiguous way. And then, I mean, you could never, does it talk about what you can do later and how you can add on? Isn't that addressed by the boundary changes?
Absolutely. Doesn't say. It just says, you know, why does the legislature want a reorganized district that's contiguous if it also said, well, down the road, it can be non-contiguous?
Well, your policy says there's many districts in the state that do not have contiguous property within their school districts.
I disagree that the record demonstrates that. This testimony comes from Quinn, who's this administrator of DESE, who's under substantial pressure and cross-examination because he allows Central to change the map without contacting Farmington.
Aren't you making a credibility determination and that's what the trial court does and that isn't part of the weight analysis that we undertake?
I mean, you're saying that's not the point. With regard to this question, that's not the real points that we are trying to make in this case. But, you know, to the extent that there exist districts, we have the 1995 attempt by DESE and the assessors to put every district in the state down. And right after Quinn says there are districts with non-contiguous, very poorly framed question, on immediately cross-examination, he says, if there are such districts, I would expect it to show up in the map, and the map doesn't show any.
Are you making two very different arguments? One is that if it is a non-contiguous district, then that's not allowed by statute, so it should be considered part of Farmington. And then the second is there's not actually a non-contiguous district because it's always been part of Farmington. Those are very different arguments I've heard you make here today.
You're saying if it's always
part of Farmington, it's not non-contiguous at all.
Yes.
It never has been.
Well, we've had some questions, so I haven't consistently gone through my argument. The first part of my argument was going to be that we shouldn't be here. It's always been part of Farmington. That's what the map showed.
Why wasn't the trial court free to disagree with that and not to accept your reading of the map and the accuracy of the map?
Well, but if I may take one step further in that argument. Uh-huh. You know, we all know that trial judges and even juries never make up their mind till the final evidence is in. But in this case, what happened? The assistant superintendent for Central admits on cross-examination, doesn't bring these maps when subpoenaed for his deposition, admits on cross-examination, our maps show the same thing as Farmington. We show that this is not.
You're saying it was an abuse of discretion for him not to accept that evidence? Is that what you're saying? That's an admission.
That's an admission. Our maps do the same thing as Farmington. The statute says the districts will keep their own maps, and our district's map, or plats, our district's plats show since 66 it's in Farmington.
Yeah, but we're talking about before 66.
Their plats show it's in Farmington.
Okay.
Now, doesn't the trial judge at that point say,
It's not a judicial admission. It's an evidentiary admission, and that would not be binding on you.
Oh, no, it's not binding.
But we have no records prior to 66, and we're trying to figure out where this information in 66 on these maps came from, and opposing counsel's I think Central says that, in fact, you look at the assessor's records and you show the maps were wrong, that, in fact, it was in Central. Now, the court, certainly the trial court had no obligation to believe that, but apparently the court did. Why was that an abuse?
First, the statute says, and as the Court of Appeals found, the best evidence is the records kept at the school district. Secondly, the assessor's office didn't just show that. Their tax records, which weren't converted to a map until 85, these tax assessment records showed this property in District 26 that eventually became part of the reorganized district. Well, that's what the tax records show, but the assessor's office of St. Francis County created two maps of the school districts. Those two maps completely contradict their own tax records. The first map is the map drawn by Lala Mandir. It existed in the St. Francis County records prior to 1981 when the young lady came on the Silbershon who testified. She testified, I was told by my assessors to defer to this map. In this map, Lala Mandir hand drew the districts in. And in this map, when he hand drew the districts in, this property that we're talking about, parcel 13, is in Farmington, even before reorganization. So it goes way back that it's in Farmington. So there's an old historical assessor's record that completely contradicts the assessor's tax records. Secondly, in 1995, DESE, along with the Association of Assessors, tried to create a map of all the districts in the state of Missouri, showing where the boundaries were. This map, in February of 1995, showed the boundaries of St. Francis County based upon a submission from the assessor at that time.
Can you address opposing counsel's argument that you can create all the maps you want, but they're not really official? You need a plat to figure official boundaries, and if it's a conflict between a map and a meets and bounds description, that you go by the meets and bounds description?
No one has a meets and bounds description.
No, we do have the boundary change, certainly.
The boundary change we do, but the boundary change didn't affect this property.
Under one of your arguments.
No. Everybody agrees the boundary change did not include this property. That's not an issue.
Then we have to agree with your argument that prior to 1966, this was part of Farmington in order for you to win.
Oh, no, I don't think so. We haven't even touched on the requirements of the Missouri Constitution.
If the boundary change did not include it, and the meets and bounds clearly did not include it, then unless there's been no later change to add it to Farmington that's official, there's been no meets and bounds, there's been no vote, there's been no authorized statutory way to include it in Farmington.
That's right. Yeah.
So it has to have already been.
If we ignore all the evidence and we simply accept the records, that only the tax records of the assessor, not the maps created by the assessor, if we accept those, then it was in District 26.
But you're not alleging anything happened since 67
no.
that brought it into the district. So
no.
It had to be there before that or not at all.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what
Thank you.
The best
Thank you.
Evidence shows.
Are there any further questions? Thank you very much.
Okay.
May it please the court. My name is Tom Mickus. Along with Natalie Harnschmeyer, we're here on behalf of Central School District, and I want to say that Judge Stith hit the nail on the head. That is the question. The two questions are, was this always a part of, we call it parcel 13, it's the gray area you see on this plat. That is 13. What is in yellow was what was part of the annex, was the part of the boundary adjustment election. And that black line between yellow and gray was what the Board of Arbitration said, that is the boundary between these two parcels. So as to whether this property was part of Farmington or not, we know that everything in yellow was not. That was part of the 1966-67 boundary adjustment election. And I agree with counsel that the gray, parcel 13, was not part of it. Now, I will say that the assessor, this property, parcel 13, the gray, and all of the yellow had been assessed to Central for 50 years. Always has been. No challenges whatsoever from the landowner, from the districts. Now, when that boundary adjustment election, 162-431, occurred, then this property in yellow was transferred from Central to Farmington and immediately began to be taxed to Farmington. Parcel 13, which was not part of the boundary adjustment, continued and continues to this day to be assessed to the Central School District.
But there's nothing, the brief's talking about if the assessor has authority to transfer property, and I understand you agree that the assessor, if it in fact was in Farmington, the assessor, the fact that the assessor listed it as in Central couldn't affect that change. So how do we know where it was to begin with?
Well,
they're saying the assessor's always been wrong, basically.
Well, what we say is, and first I want to say there's a lot, 162-841's been misused wholesale and the briefs and then this argument. 162-481 requires the board secretary to keep a copy of the plat, and other documents and transfer those documents to the county clerk and to the state. Plat. Now we interchangeably throw the word map and plat. That's because Farmington doesn't have a plat. If you look at the Exhibit E, which was on the easel, that's one county map after another. And our expert said, that is not a plat. It may help you get from one place to the other, but you'd have to blow it up 40 times to have anything that had any value at all. Only a plat. And if you look at this, this is a surveyed plat. It doesn't have any roads. It just has a meets by bounds description of where the boundary is.
But that's what a plat does. Where did the person who prepared this plat get the information that the gray part of Section 13 was previously in the Central School District and not in the Farmington School District, as your opposing counsel said?
The evidence of that was left to the trial court to decide. So the trial court did what the trial court should do. They went to each of the districts. And by the way, 162-481 does not authorize school districts to create their own boundaries by a map or a plat.
Right.
It just says keep the record. Now, so how does the judge figure it out? He goes to the districts and says, what records do you have? What plats do you have? Farmington doesn't have any plats. They've got a bunch of maps. This is great. If you listen to the testimony of their expert, this is a question of their expert. Is it not true that you are unable to say with a reasonable degree of certainty which, if any, of the six maps is the correct version of the boundary line between the two districts? And Farmington and Big D Development's expert says you are correct. They have six county highway maps, and they can't figure out which one it is.
Am I correct that there's no plat prior to 66? On the one side, there's a lot of maps that show it in Farmington. On the other side, the assessor's records show it in Central?
That is exactly correct.
And so you're saying it was then up to the trial judge to figure out which one in some way?
What the judge did was then he said, Central, what do you have? Central wasn't in any better shape. They have road maps just like Farmington that somebody had colored in with a magic marker. Not exactly an exact boundary. And here, it's important to know that we're talking about attractive land. Parcel 13 is 130 acres. It can disappear real easily. And so then the trial court says, okay, what about the county superintendent? Well, the county superintendent doesn't exist anymore, and nobody can find his records. So now we have the expert from Farmington saying, I can't tell which of six it is. We have Central that has their own roadmap, so they don't have any help. County records doesn't exist. What is the judge to do? Is he to take six little pieces of paper, number 1 through 6, drop them in a hat, and pull out which of the roadmaps he's going to use? No, he does the intelligent thing that a trial court judge should do, and that is he goes to the assessor's records and said, who's been paying tax on this property? And he finds out by looking at the assessor's maps and records from the testimony that all of this land, the yellow until the boundary adjustment election, All of this land was paid to settlers.
You're not asking us to hold as a matter of law that assessors' records are always trump education
not.
Records. Okay.
I do not. I ask you to sustain the trial court judge who said, in this case alone, it is the best and most persuasive evidence of where the boundaries are because none of these districts helped me by providing me with a plat of where the boundary line is. And that determination was supported by Dr. Quinn. Now, we can denigrate Dr. Quinn all we want, but he's been a superintendent for 30 years, and he is assistant commissioner of education for the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. And he is responsible for fielding questions, among other things, about boundaries. He says it is the standard practice of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education that when a question is raised concerning a boundary, that it goes to the assessor's office. And they go by the assessor. So the judge says...
Is there any statutory authority for that?
No, there isn't, Your Honor. I think the trial judges... And remember this. This is a lawsuit filed initially by McDee Development and joined in by Farmington. They have the burden. If the best they can do with their burden is come up with an expert that says, I don't know which one of these six roadmaps works. They haven't carried their burden. But the judge didn't stop there. He went further. And he examined the only other records which happen to be the assessor. Assessors don't make boundaries, and the judge said so. He said, assessors don't do it, courts don't do it, generally. But the assessor's records are the best evidence in this case. No precedential value in this case. So then we come to the second point that Judge Stiff raised, and that is the question of is there, can you have non-contiguous portions of the district? With all due respect to counsel, our firm represents about 300 school districts. We've got non-contiguous components, and there was testimony as such at this case. And we can denigrate his testimony, but that's what he testified to. That's what he does. And it happens by the whole quirky way that we set school district boundaries in this state because we do it in about 50 different ways. We have some courts to set them. We have the department, the State Board of Education does it. We have voters do it. We have county boards of education do it. We have district lapses that the gentleman before us talked about what happens to the boundaries, what happens to the kids. They do exist. And I would say this as a practical matter, 162-431, which is a boundary adjustment election, that's what created the separation between parcel 13, the gray, and the yellow. It does not require that they be contiguous property. The testimony is, I can't tell you the exact number of meets and bounds, but it's been described variously at trial as a narrow gap between 13 and the rest of Central School District. But there is nothing in that statute. It's clear. And if there's a difference in the vote, because in a boundary adjustment election, it's the only one where you have the vote of the two districts. And they never agree. One district never agrees to give up property. The other one says, yeah, we'll take your property. But the other one says, uh-uh, there's no way. So it goes to a board of arbitration. The board of arbitration then has the authority to say, hey, and they are restricted by the educational necessity of the boundary change.
Is there a way to address this? As I understand it, one of the parties is a developer and is buying property. It's mixed in two school districts. No one's living in this part.
As we speak today, there are homes, very large homes, being built on parcel 13 because, and that's really the crux of this whole lawsuit.
Well, just stay in the record. I'm just trying to go from the record, please.
At the time of the boundary adjustment election, it was agricultural property. McDee Development purchased all of 13 and a good bit of other land for commercial development.
Now, if it's agricultural, there's no tax rate or very little tax rate. If they're homes and commercial entities, then there's a taxable entity.
The 130 acres of parcel 13 are agricultural property, and they're taxed at a lower rate than a residential would. The residential owner of that property, the farmhouse, was right across the line, which after this boundary adjustment election was in the yellow and became part of Farmington. But Central received all the taxes, albeit not a lot. But the issue in deciding where a boundary is not how much money you get from taxes, it's where the boundary is. Or we'd have a whole new... Now, the court's faced with the situation, the Court of Appeals wasn't a problem because it wasn't even raised at the trial court level about whether you had to engraft language into 162.431 that said contiguous. The Court of Appeals looked at six. There are six boundary statutes. There's one that says that it has to be contiguous. There's another one that suggests contiguous, but by God, that didn't even exist at the time that this boundary adjustment election was held. So there's one statute out of five that says contiguous. The Court of Appeals says, let's go with the one and the hell with the five. One of those other five that the court didn't even consider was adjacent. It required the property two districts to be adjacent. And this court, in the decision that we cited in our brief, says there's a difference between the word contiguous and adjacent. Adjacent means nearby. Clearly, 13 is nearby central. So adjacent is not touching. The other statutes, the other four statutes, have no geographical restriction whatsoever. And so I'm left to wonder, did we select what our decision was going to be? We wanted to outlaw non-contiguous districts, so we picked the one statute out of five that says contiguous, and we ignore all the other statutes that hold to the contrary.
Is there anything in the record to show why the gray part was not included in the boundary change?
There is nothing in the record to show that it wasn't included in the boundary change. Our assumption, and it's purely our assumption, Your Honor, was that it wasn't included in the boundary election for reasons of the property owner, and I have nothing other than that. It should have been. And I think if they want to move this property now, if they want to say parcel 13 should be moved to the Farmington District, guess what? There's a way to do it. Section 162.431, the boundary adjustment election, which did this, is available. They could file petitions. It only takes 10% of the voters in the last election. They could have an election. They could have an election in Farmington and Central, and they could have had it at least five times and saved this 5 years of litigation and thank God, a lot of attorney fees, and resolve this issue. But they didn't. And I wondered, why is that? And then Natalie showed me, said it was the law was changed in 162.431 was amended in 2000 to say that the criteria that the arbitrator should look at is whether the necessity to move the line is for educational purposes or for a commercial development. That's why, because there's a beautiful golf course and country club that lies right alongside Parcel 13 in the Farmington School District. If you do this, the plain language of 162.431 does not have a limitation, and I think it is impermissible under the holdings of this court to engraft a word into it to change the meaning. If this court finds that you have to engraft the word contiguous into 162.431, you have to engraft that word into at least four or five other statutes. You have to look at those children in those other non-contiguous districts, because now we're saying your non-contiguous districts throughout the state, all of your kids, all of your schools, all of your tax base now has to be moved to a brand new district. And that's a hell of an outcome for people who did not have a vote on the issue. If we want to move Parcel 13 into Farmington, I'm all for it. But let's have an election. Let's have people vote. Let's make an intelligent decision. Let's not raffle this through the courts, and let's not contort the word map, county highway map, with the word plat. There was ample evidence to uphold the judge's record, and it's a bench-tried case, and the judge's determination on credibility is entitled to extreme deference. Unless it stands against the weight of the evidence, those holdings must be upheld. So it's clear that parcel 13 is in Central, and you have to go through mental gymnastics to beat hell. It makes this court a super legislature, and you're going to have to change four or five statutes. And the legislature used four or five different words in those statutes. And you got to assume they used four or five different words because they intended it. Thank you very much.
Please, the court, I didn't get very far along in talking about the law. Missouri does not approve or allow, in our opinion, non-contiguous districts. This has been answered. Respondents point out or say this is a case of first impression. It is not. The case of Taylor Schwartz versus Reorganized School District, R3, covers this question. And contrary to the assertions of the respondent, this is not dicta in the case. The wording I'm going to read you was absolutely necessary to decide that case because it dealt with ballots, and if the ballots were not done in the correct way, we could end up with non-contiguous districts. And in that case, the court said situation would have resulted. For in that event, the district would have been divided into two separate and non-contiguous areas.
If we accept your argument, are we creating a seventh way to create a school district, that you take surrounding land and then the part you didn't take automatically becomes part of your district too? And the legislature.
In other words, you're saying if we have a non-contiguous.
The effect of what you're saying is that people could vote not to allow annexation or being added to a district, and you could get around that by taking surrounding areas that wanted it, and then they would just automatically be included in the district because they were non-contiguous over against the wishes of the electorate. I mean, isn't that the result of what you're doing? It's sort of a seventh method of
I don't believe it is. I think what, I guess, if I understand your question, Your Honor, what you're saying is, can the voters go out and, by election, create non-contiguous districts?
No, you're saying that even though, assuming for the purposes of the second argument, that the non-contiguous part was not part of Farmington and was not included in the boundary change, and so people there did not vote for the boundary change, nonetheless, we're going to, as a matter of law, include it in the boundary change because it would make, in effect, a non-contiguous district. And that is not a method under the statute.
That's correct. That's not
boundaries.
A method under the statute.
Or districts.
We're not including it in the boundary change.
But you're saying without an election it would be included in another district nonetheless.
Yes.
How can we do that when the statute only provides numerous ways to do it, but they all involve the electorate?
How can we have a non-contiguous district when the Constitution doesn't allow it? And our previous courts have said.
So isn't the effect of that, if we agree with you on that the original boundary change was invalid because it created a non-contiguous district, but nobody appealed that?
No, I don't think it did. Only, again, we have to go back to the trial court accepting the tax assessments only.
That's a different argument. Yeah,
yes.
I understand that.
But, I mean, it goes in. You did ask one question. Why wasn't the gray included in the boundary change? And the reason is the gray was owned by the Coker kids. That's who sold it. The Coker kids went to Farmington. Kids even further out went to Farmington. Let me end you with this thought about this case. We've heard about, there's all these non-contiguous districts waiting to hear your decision. What we have in the real world in this case is that school buses almost 6 miles away are coming and picking up some kids while their neighbor kids are going a mile away or a mile plus away to Farmington.
Any further questions? Thank you very much. The cases are taken under submission.